I have
current geek.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Current Geek. This is the weekly proceedings of the meetings of the Frog Pants All Stars, geeks of the world, and you to keep you current on all things that matter most. I'm Scott Johnson with Tom Merritt. Hello, Tom.
Hello, Scott Johnson. We meet again.
It's as if we have a regularly scheduled program.
It's as if every other week, at least, we do this show.
You've been busy. You've been traveling, had stuff going on. I'm glad to have you back, though. You doing all right?
Likewise. Good. Traveling again. Going to head to a baby shower as soon as we get done with this.
Man.
It's good. It's all good. Yeah. It's good things.
Good things. Life is good. We're going to soldier on despite this horrible headache and head cold I have, because it's Current Geek, damn it, and we have guests. Let me tell you about our first one. She's an actress, and you guys know her. You just may not know it from Star Trek, but you know her from Star Trek. She was in an episode of Star Trek. Commander Riker shot her with a phaser. And if it's starting to ring a bell, well, then you're right. You've seen her before. Her name is Lisa Wilcox, and she's here, and it's awesome to have you here. How are you?
Hi. Happy to be here, man.
Obviously not your only credit, but there's all sorts of stuff you've been in. If you've seen... And Garrett, you're going to love this because I know you're a big fan. If you've seen some of the Freddy Krueger movies, she's in a couple of those.
Oh, yes.
We'll talk about that more later. He's a huge fan of those things, but it's awesome to have you here. Thanks again for coming.
Thanks. It's a pleasure. And I have to say, I love you brought up Star Trek just because I'm actually a property on the Monopoly board.
Oh, no way.
There's a Star Trek Next Generation Monopoly board. Star Trek did these Monopoly boards based on all these TV shows a few years ago. And yes, I'm a property. I can be landed upon.
and if I land there, I can then collect rent when others land there. Is that
correct,
the idea?
Correct. 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 I'm like in the same St. James Place area. Yeah. So not bad. I'm known as the assassin.
That's not bad. You could be, where's the rotten one on the board? I always forget. It's, what's the one?
I think Park is the expensive one, right?
Park
Place. Park Avenue, the expensive one, like New York expensive.
Yeah.
Park Place.
Park Place, I think.
Park Place.
It might be Pennsylvania Avenue or something like that. There's one of those that's real bad. But we're glad you're on.
I can pull it out and check it out.
I'm glad you're on a good square. That's what matters. Also with us, joining us for the, I believe, third time. You know him. You love him. He's the founder of the amove.tv website. And its associated podcasts. It's Garrett Weinzierl. Hello, Garrett.
Thanks for having me back, Scott and Tom.
Oh, it's our pleasure, man. You also do a Star Wars podcast with Tom. So
I do, and I hear. I think we might be talking a little Star Wars today.
Tiny bit, Tom. Just a tiny bit. We have some casting news, but before
we do. It's broke minutes, and by minutes, like 120 to 180 minutes before the show.
Whoa. All right, well, then let's get right to it. It's the headlines.
Herbert Hoover, Secretary of Commerce in 1922, finds infant radio facilitates news gathering, as do many others in high public office.
What do we got, Tom?
Well, we're going to start with the video game console announcement. Announcement of sorts. Nintendo revealed a new game console that they'd previously referred to as the Nintendo NX will be officially called the Nintendo Switch. They said it will arrive in March 2017, didn't give us an active date. Console consists of a tablet that sits in a dock that connects to your TV, so you can play it at home like you would a normal game console. But then you can take the sides off of your controller. Nintendo calls these Joy-Cons, by the way. You connect those sides of the controller to the sides of the tablet, take the tablet out of the dock, and then you can take it out into the world with you. The Joy-Cons can also be used unattached from the tablet with a wireless connection. A standalone controller can also be purchased for those of you who don't want to deal with the word Joy-Con. Multiplayer is supported in all scenarios. Games will be distributed on small SD card-like cartridges called game cards. And a custom NVIDIA Tegra processor powers the graphics. So a lot of people are comparing this to the NVIDIA Shield. Nintendo also announced a list of 48 third-party game devs and publishers developing titles for Switch. So it's going to have some games as well.
Yeah, I got to tell you, I'm not going to beat around the bush here. I'm genuinely excited about this because I feel like it's time for Nintendo to do something that's in their wheelhouse, but also takes things in a new place. And maybe also takes them back a few steps from the weird place they are right now with the Wii U. So Garrett, where do you stand on the idea of this kind of portability and this kind of detach and attachability?
Well, Scott, I'm known for generally being a snarky human being.
I've got no snark. I'm so excited about this. And Nintendo has, I've been less than enthusiastic about Nintendo products in the recent decade. But I'm just really stoked. It's fine. It's the first Nintendo console that I'm really excited about that I really want to get since, geez, I don't know. I got the Wii. I was excited about the Wii, but then I got it and was less excited about it.
Sure. Yeah, that wears off real quick with the Wii. I mean, it's not that any of us have ever tired or gotten away from the idea that Nintendo games themselves are some of the most magical, wonderful things ever to grace this planet. But every once in a while, they'll have a hardware cycle where you're like, all right, there's more gimmick than game here. And you're burying a perfectly wonderful Zelda or Mario or whatever experience under layers of complicated, strange plastic ideas. And I think that's been the case for a while. The GameCube was the last sort of standard console they made, and now they have a chance to take this in a new place. Does this sort of thing interest you at all, Lisa?
Oh my gosh. Well, I have two boys, my sons, and, you know, Nintendo was certainly a big part of our household. I have a question about, didn't they do this like glove thing?
Oh yeah. Back in
Power Glove.
Yeah. The Power Glove was awesome.
What was that called?
The Power Glove.
What are your thoughts on the powers of the Power Glove? I never bought it for them for Christmas.
Well, it's super old, right? Garrett, I'm thinking like, when did that come out? Like,
yeah, it's invoked now as a jokey throwback to the 80s.
Of course is my heyday.
Yeah, but they're really popular. If you can find them on eBay, pick them up, in auctions or on the cheap or whatever. I would love one. I'd love to have one here. I don't know that they
really?
Ever. I don't think they worked that well. It's more of a nostalgia thing.
They look really cool, though. I've seen pictures. They're cool looking.
Yeah, it's like
having an automated arm like Arnold Schwarzenegger something.
Yeah, and you had also Rob the robot, and that thing sat there and moved around, and you can control it with the glove, and there was all kinds of weird stuff like that. But they have this tendency to do this, Tom. They go, hey, we're gonna change the whole video game world with the Nintendo Entertainment System in 1987 or whatever it was, 85, 86, whatever it was. And then they turn right around and do it again with the Super Nintendo, and then they add some weird stuff like light guns, those are fine, and some other interactive things, those are fine. The robot, the arm thing, that's all kind of stupid, but it's okay. And then between then and then and here, they make a Virtual Boy, which was, you know, a far-flung idea that only now is coming to fruition with VR and things. But talk about a technology company that makes kind of has hardware all over the place. I mean, they're a weird egg.
Yeah, I don't look at this announcement of this new console and see it as big of a leap or as wild of an idea as something like the Virtual Boy or the Power Glove. Like, this makes sense. I've seen hardware that looks similar to this in the past. Nintendo has already proven to me that they make quality portable products. And so if this actually can bridge the gap, which is what it's looking like they're trying to do, I mean, it's kind of what I've always wanted from Nintendo.
Well, it's also
proof's all in the pudding, right? Like, can you actually slide this thing out easily? Will it really play the game the same way it will on your television when you're walking around? Will it connect to other people? Will it connect to your controller? If it does all of the things it's promising to, then yeah, I'm all in to try this out. I love the idea of being able to move this thing around either inside the house or out. But that's the problem with things like the glove. You're right. I mean, that's why Lisa brought it up, because we all kind of snicker at it now. Although if it had met its promise, it would have been amazing.
Sure. The way I look at it is there's two unanswered questions that matter a lot here, and we'll get these soon enough, I guess. But battery life matters, and connectivity when it's not on your own home Wi-Fi network matters, at least a little bit in the question of, you know, can I get a LTE connection with this thing, or can I get something with it that'll make it more, I don't know, more compelling than all the stuff that's already on my phone that I have a constant connection to. I think those are important questions. The battery one is a big if for me. But Garrett, you hit on something that I just want to reinforce and say that, you know, Nintendo's got their console world, they've got their handheld world, and they've had different eras where they've been really strong in one or the other, and in sometimes both. You could argue the 3DS was a huge success. It was over its lifespan. So was the DS before that. So was the Game Boy before that and all of its iterations.
But here's it's been hits and hits for handheld.
Yeah, forever and ever. Now they have a chance to say, well, mobile has kind of changed the entire landscape. So why don't we figure out a way to live in both places with one product that is maybe more power than you're used to on mobile and maybe less power than you're used to on console, but that ease of switching back and forth and putting Zelda to sleep and taking it on the bus with you and having it wake right up again where you left off, it's pretty compelling. So, yeah, I want it. 2017, right. Baby. Let's do it. It's happening.
Christmas list.
All right, the official... Yeah, I put it on my Christmas list too. The official trailer
is not available till March. Dang it!
Yeah, you gotta wait. Gotta wait.
Well, it's one of those gifts you open up, and there's a note that says, "I promise to buy you the Nintendo Switch in March." And you're like, dang.
Kids love that. Kids love that.
The official trailer for the movie Logan is out. This is allegedly the last hurrah for Hugh Jackman as Wolverine. It also features Patrick Stewart as Professor X, and it was directed by James Mangold, who did Wolverine, but also Walk the Line and 310 to Yuma. It comes out March 3rd. And Scott, if you saw this trailer, there was a distinctly Western-ish vibe to it.
Without a question. It is the... by the way, I see these notes in the notes. I don't know why it's not working. Something's wrong on Todd's side. Anyway, I agree with you. There is very much kind of a Western vibe to it. And there's also, more importantly, a vibe that tells me they're taking the source material for this thing very seriously, which is the Logan or the old man Logan run in comics. A lot of people really, really like that. And I think that that's a huge deal. Like, I feel like they're taking a piece of the Wolverine lore and taking it to a place that we, you know, hopefully does it some justice. This movie appears to be rated R. There's a red band trailer for it. They feel I may be more comfortable in a post Deadpool world than doing that. But I'm curious what our guests think. Garrett, are you excited about Logan?
I really am. And I've been, any of my buddies who I get on, you know, together with on the weekends and talk about nerd things with, I've been lamenting for years now that we haven't been able to bring the X-Men into the MCU properly. But this is the first thing that's really come out of it where I'm like, I really liked Deadpool, don't get me wrong, but I still would love to see the X-Men get together with the Avengers at some point. However, this trailer for Logan has me ecstatic. I'm hoping if it lives up to the potential of this trailer that we will get like the Dark Knight equivalent of an X-Men movie, because that's like what I see here. It's very grounded. It seems very gritty. I'm not seeing leather unitards. It's nice.
So, Lisa, I've got a question for you as somebody who's worked in Hollywood and worked in the business. Do you think that we're now moving to a new stage of comic book hero movies where we can get a little bit further away from the spandex and more into the darker, grittier stories that are certainly in the comics but have yet to really show up in theaters?
Oh, yeah. No, that trend is definitely happening. It's even happening in a way with kids. In fact, there's going to be more, I read this, there's going to be more superhero girl costumes for Halloween than princesses.
Oh, wow. That's got to be, yeah. Got to be a first in
so
a long
time.
So
think about that. Yeah. So absolutely, the superhero, the comics is becoming bigger than Disney, you know, and Rapunzel and all that kind of thing. So yeah, I think there's definitely a trend going. And I'm such a huge Hugh Jackman film. I mean, I love Wolverine. And of course, Patrick Stewart, who I worked with on Star Trek, he's amazing. Yeah, I'm excited for Logan.
Is he as nice in person as he seems like?
Do you really want me to tell the truth?
Yeah,
or lie?
I want the total truth. I want the absolute truth. Tell us how nice or not nice he is.
Absolutely lovely. And if I may tell a little story about Patrick.
Sure.
Okay. Okay. I'm getting a divorce. I'm looking for a house to rent. I find this house on Rose Avenue in Burbank. And my real estate agent is talking to the other real estate agent, this darling house. Turns out it's Patrick Stewart's fiance's house. And they've been living there for a couple years while their big house is being built out in Pacific Palisades. So, and a lot of people wanted this house. So anyway, Patrick pulls up with his fiance to the house in a black van. He was doing a signing in Anaheim. And he gets out of the car, out of the van. And he's like, Lisa, Lisa, how are you? Hugs and kisses, hugs and kisses. And then they proceed. Anyway, I got the house. And he and his wife proceed to show me the nooks and crannies of the house and this and that, right?
Yeah.
And then, so I lived in that house for a while, and it was just so weird to go like, oh my God, Patrick Stewart, like stood at this oven and opened it and like made a meatloaf, maybe, or something like
probably,
that.
Most likely.
It was so surreal.
Wow. That's super so, cool.
Yeah, he's absolutely. And then Wendy, his fiance was going like, Patrick, you got to fix this gate. You know, it was very fun. So yeah, he's lovely, lovely, lovely.
Oh, that's awesome. All right, good. I was.
He'll hook you up with a good house. Who knew that about Patrick Stewart?
With a cute little bungalow in Burbank. It was adorable.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, that's fantastic. Yeah.
Anyway. Last thing I saw of his was Green Room. So I have a different picture of Patrick Stewart in my head.
You wouldn't buy a house from that Patrick Stewart?
I wouldn't. No, yeah. I don't think I would.
No.
It was acting. Thank goodness. Thank goodness. Speaking of the new Guardians of the Galaxy 2 sneak peek is out with shots of all of our favorites, including a nice stroll with Yondu accompanying Rocket. On a brisk walk with people falling next to them. The trailer uses Blue Swede's Hooked on a Feeling again. So going right back to that first trailer of the first one, Kurt Russell is set to play Quill's father, Ego. We may or may not see him. It's hard to tell in this teaser. And has raised Mantis, played by Palm Clementeef. It comes to theaters May 5th, 2017. What'd you guys think of this teaser?
It looks really good. I can't wait. Garrett, you're a fan, right? You like the Guardians.
It might be my favorite Marvel thing now at this point. I really just dig it. It's so fun. It is just so incredibly fun, and it taps into so many things that I am a fan of outside of sci-fi.
Yeah. Are you surprised you didn't see, like, the Gauntlet or what's his name with the Gauntlet? Can't hear his name all of a sudden. Bad guy.
Thanos?
How come no Thanos?
Thanos.
Excuse me. I've heard him talk in the trailer, though. That is totally what's his name, who plays Thanos in these movies. My brain.
Benicio del Toro?
Nope. The guy who left.
That's the Collector. No. Oh, you're right. I'm sorry.
That's the Collector. No, I'm talking about the guy who was in.
Josh Brolin.
Thank you. I heard his voice in this trailer talking. So I assume he's in this. Is it safe to assume, do you think, that we're going to get Thanos?
I think it's the most important thing about this teaser is whether Josh Brolin is in this movie or not.
Clearly, right? Absolutely, clearly. What do you think, Lisa? You excited?
Sure. Not familiar.
Oh, you should see the first one. If you haven't seen the first one, you really should. It's really, really great. It's my wife's favorite. It's probably my favorite. Sounds like it's probably Garrett's favorite. Tom, where do you stand on the order?
Oh yeah. No, I went to see Guardians knowing nothing about this comic or any of the characters in it and just had a blast. And my wife did too, who was even coming even colder into it, not having any familiarity at all. And we both just loved it. It's just a good time.
Mm. Well, you'll get it right around the time you get your Nintendo Switch right there in March.
My favorite thing about Guardians of the Galaxy was when I found out my dad had seen it, and my dad hates going to the movies for the most part. And he is very much an old school dad, you know, like World War II documentaries and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So I was like, hey, Dad, what did you think of Guardians of the Galaxy? He was like, it was pretty cool, except for the talking raccoon.
He didn't like Rocket Raccoon?
I'm completely intrigued. It's on my list. I've added it to my watching list.
All right. Murderous rock talking raccoon.
It's really great.
I'm like, Dad, you missed the point.
It's edgy and rad and awesome. And by the way, I screwed up. It's not March. It's May. So May 5th, 2017.
Well,
sorry.
You get the Nintendo Switch and Logan at the same time.
There you go.
And then after you've played the Switch out, you can go see Guardians of the Galaxy.
Wow, you got this all planned out next year, 2017.
Yeah, I got my whole spring planned.
That's great.
And final movie news. Got a lot of movie news this week. Lucasfilm announced today, on Friday, that Donald Glover will play the part of Lando Calrissian in the still untitled Han Solo Star Wars film from directors Phil Lord and Christopher Miller. This is from StarWars.com. So no longer a rumor, no longer me confusing people by accidentally saying Danny Glover. It's Donald Glover from StarWars.com playing Lando Calrissian. If you didn't hear somehow, Alden Ehrenreich is playing Han Solo in this movie. And from StarWars.com, they say this new film depicts Lando in his formative years as a scoundrel on the rise in the galaxy's underworld.
Think he'll have a little mustache or no? What do you think?
Oh, yeah. No, he's got to have a little mustache. You're right.
Yeah.
That makes perfect sense.
Got to have that. Colt 45, baby.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, he's going to start the movie with no mustache, and by the end of it, he will have one.
Ah.
The whole plot. How he gets that little mustache.
Yeah, exactly.
Once again, the important buried lead here is the mustache. He's perfect casting. Like, I couldn't have picked this any better. Donald Glover's really multi-talented and funny. He's got just the right amount of swagger you need for somebody to play Lando. I'm more and more confident in the solo movie than I am just about any of the other news we have about future Star Wars movies. I was kind of skeptical leading up to this, but they've shown that they're willing to make really good cast decisions. I think the other guy who I don't really know very well that plays Han Solo, I think he looks the part. Yeah, I'm ready to see some scoundrels in the making. It sounds like fun to me.
I think it's a great choice too. And I love the idea that we're actually going to get the story of the Millennium Falcon changing hands. I know they haven't said that, but if you're making a big deal out of Lando, that's got to be in there.
Yeah, it can't just be. Well, what else would they do? He's got to have a iffy relationship with Chewbacca, right? There's got to be something like that going on. He's got to give the keys over to he has to get the keys to the
Falcon. To play the game of Sabacc or whatever. Yeah,
he's got
to
have that. Maybe he finds Lobot, his little buddy with the things on his head.
Part of that story is told in the comics, so maybe this will be when he first meets him.
Yeah. Hopefully a lot of new stuff, though, if we're being honest, right? I don't want just...
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, is they could do... The Millennium Falcon changing hands could be part of it, but, I mean, they could... It's really uncharted territory. We don't know a whole lot about Han's past or Lando's past, short of what shows up in Rebels or in novels, so they can really kind of pen whatever they want.
Yep.
Yeah, it's going to be totally fun to see the reveal, you know? What is this story, you know? And how did Chewbacca, how did they even meet? How the hell did Chewbacca become his right-hand man?
Yeah.
I'd like to know.
Yeah, I would too. I would too. That would be, that's a relationship that everyone loves. Part of the reason I think we love it is because it's not too fleshed out and we get to fill in a lot of gaps with our imagination. But I think I'd be up for a little bit of, you know, a little backstory on that oldest of friendships. Sure. Yeah. Why not?
Yeah, it feels like they have more freedom than they did with something like the original prequels. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, we know how Vader became Vader. We know Obi-Wan was involved with it. But this is such a, you know, it's a blank slate.
So Garrett is a guy who follows Star Wars pretty religiously like you do, almost like a Jedi religion. can you tell me what's your temperature on Rogue One at this point? I know there's, you know, a much hullabaloo is made about reshoots, but even on the show we talked about reshoots are kind of a part of every movie, and just because Star Wars had their own version of that, everybody flipped out and thought it meant doom. The trailers look really nice. Like, where are you at with it?
I'm melting, dude. I'm like, my temperature's off the rocket, off the scales. I need to go see a doctor. I am so ready for Rogue One.
I mean, too.
The most recent trailer, part of me was like, maybe I'll pull a Jeff Cannata and I won't watch the trailer. And then I figured, no, he's insane. I'm going to watch it. And I did watch it. And I didn't think I would experience childlike glee at ever seeing Darth Vader again. But the half second you see Darth Vader storming through the fog in that trailer, just it hit me at my nerd core.
Yeah, we kind of need it, because all we got, I mean, let's just go back, we had prequel Vader, which nobody liked the way that happened, right? We had mess with the trilogy again Vader, where he's yelling no or whatever, or no when
that was part of the prequels.
Right, no, but the part in, they changed in Jedi recently,
in Jedi when he throws the
it's
horrible, I know. And then we have a melted mask, which is kind of cool and gives you feelings of ooh, interesting, from Episode 7. But won't it be nice to get back to that thing that we saw when we were kids and we went, oh my gosh, the most evil villain in the history of ever is walking through there.
Traditional Vader.
That's right.
Family values Vader.
He's pretty great in Rebels, too, in the animated series when he shows up. Because he is voiced by James Earl Jones, and they use him sparingly. And when he does show up, it hits the fan pretty hard.
Am I a bad person for not seeing Rebels yet? Does that make me
you
bad?
Are.
Okay. Oh, I yes. do. No, yes. He's not a bad no. person. You're not a no, bad person, terrible. But you're missing out. And they're short. They're less than a half hour long, too.
All right.
Actually, there's a lot of filler, so I would argue you could skip a lot of episodes.
I'm going to watch the whole thing. I just, it bums me out that I've been this late to it, so I'll get around at some point.
All right, we finish up with a story from the venerable London newspaper, The Telegraph, telling a story I think we all can identify with. Mark Rittman and his 11-hour battle to make a cup of tea with a Wi-Fi tea kettle. Rittman bought the tea kettle. It was £99, the Smarter Eye Kettle. And the idea was it will tell a smartphone app how much water it has and when it boils. So that way you don't have to sit there and keep checking on it. It'll just alert you on your phone, right? Very nice. The battle started by involving a base station that was supposed to connect the kettle to the internet that just would not connect.
And on Twitter, he goes through the long process of troubleshooting, restarting the router, recalibrating the base station, more connection issues. But then, even once he gets it connected to the internet, he decides to get fancy and use If This Then That to connect it to his Amazon Echo so he could actually talk to the Echo and tell it to turn on the tea kettle. And of course, the whole thing plays out over 11 hours on Twitter.
So at some point, though, obviously the thing we're supposed to be asking here is, wouldn't it have been simpler, Lisa, if he had just walked over to a teapot, put it on the stove, and did it the old-fashioned way? Do you think this struggle is worth it?
This is all about the struggle. It's about the journey.
It is, and I like this kind of journey. I'm currently doing something with some security cameras that is completely out of my pay grade, and like I don't know what I'm doing, and I'm probably going to jack something up, but I'm totally enjoying the journey that you're talking about, and it will probably not go well in the end, but I'm still going to make that journey. So I applaud this guy, don't get me wrong, but sometimes you just need to heat up some water, you know, and get it done. You don't need to have like a giant contraption that
I second that.
It's like having a Rube Goldberg device to flush the toilet. So sometimes you just need to flush the toilet.
Yeah. Well, and I get what he's into, right? It's that sunk cost fallacy, because the idea is great. Like, I can start the water boiling from my phone if there's enough water in the kettle. And I can have it tell me when it's boiled, and I never even have to go into the kitchen. That is, in fact, easier and could save you a little time. If you're in a busy day, it can make all the difference. But having to spend 11 hours to troubleshoot it is so representative of everyone who's ever tried to attach anything to a network ever.
It's hard. You know, we're still in the young days of this.
It never works.
It's the Wild West. It never works the way it's supposed to. I'll give you an example, just a tiny example. These are Samsung cameras that I'm dealing with, okay? And they're fine. They're highly rated. People like them. They have an outdoor and an indoor version, and they have an app. And the Samsung-developed app that's on the iOS App Store doesn't say anything about how it's been, like, left in the dirt. It's just sort of there as the number one result with, like, one-star reviews because it hasn't been updated since, like, 2014, and it doesn't work at all. Well, I fumbled around with that forever before I found out that somebody totally unrelated to Samsung makes the app you want to use today, and it's all up to date, but you wouldn't know to search for it or where to find it. So none of this stuff is easy. There are no standards yet for a lot of this sort of thing. This Internet of Things world we're entering into is just going to get a little more complicated before it gets less. And that's fine. Again, Tom's right. It's about the journey. So spend 14 hours trying to heat up your water. It's fine with me. You're a brave explorer, and you're blazing new trails for Americans everywhere. So well done. But for now, Lisa and I are like, listen, just make the tea. Just heat the thing
up. If it's not broken, why fix it?
That's right. Okay? That's right. Tom, you go to Mars, I'll just be right. I got Earth already. I'm going to enjoy the Earth I have.
Exactly. Good old physics.
Yes, indeed.
Fire and water make boiled water.
Yeah, done. but you want to do it from your phone and on the plane on your way home, right? Get it ready.
Yeah, but then your phone battery is low, and then
exactly
space on your battery for a dang pot of tea water. Oy vey.
Makes sense. All right, great stories today. Big thanks to people who helped get us these stories, who did it on our subreddit. Tom, who are some of the fine folks who submitted?
Oh, I Am Sci-Fi had a few of these. Goldwing DMC and C. Caddenhead all submitted stories at currentgeek.reddit.com. You can submit them too. Big thanks to everybody who goes in and submits stories and votes on them. Helps us pick what stories we talk about.
All right, before we move on, we'd like to take this part of the show and let our guests talk about some of the things that they're working on, some of their projects they're heavily involved in. Let's start with Lisa. What's up with Lisa and her life right now? What do you got going?
What do I have going? Well, I actually just got back from New York doing a film there. It was very exciting. I've been to New York many, many times, but I've never actually filmed. Mm. So, it's called The Watcher of Park Avenue. It's a thriller. And my colleague and dear friend, Amanda Wiss, who is Freddy's first kill in Nightmare 1, first nightmare, is also in the film. And I get to play this very eccentric New York character, and which I've never gotten to play before. I mean, you know, folks have asked me, you know, the roles. I mean, I pretty much play like from prostitutes to nuns, pretty much, but I've never gotten to play an eccentric New Yorker. So It was great, great crew, great experience. And it was lovely October, New York, you know. So, yeah, so I have that. And then I have a film I'm going to be doing in Shreveport, Louisiana.
I've been there. Shreveport's, Shreveport's an interesting town. Tell me, I'm dying to know what this movie's about because I'll bet.
I've never been there. It's called The Possessed. And Lionsgate's already picked it up. And so I'm very, I play like a newscaster. It's like a lead role. Anyway, it's called The Possessed. I can't talk about it too much, you know, but anyway, I'm very excited. And I,
so what's the ending?
Well, I'm excited because
believe it or not, it's really not a horror film. They completely revised the script from a horror film to now a thriller. It's a very, has kind of the Omen film kind of aspects to it. And very intriguing. So I'm really excited. I don't know if you guys know, but I left acting for like a decade and a half.
Oh, wow.
Quite a long time. But I'm back to it full time as of this year, which has been quite a fascinating journey. I actually made a business plan on to get back into acting because the world has changed so much, especially, of course, social media. So it's like, oh, Instagram. Oh, Twitter. Oh, Facebook. I mean, I've done Facebook for a few years, but the importance of that for you know, all of us in our industries is really, really key. So it's been a fun year. It's been a fun year.
Well, that's awesome. Well,
especially given the fact that things are so different now with social media, what was it that compelled you to say, you know what, I need to make a plan and get back into it?
Because it had changed so much, and maybe I'm a list maker anyway, but I knew the avenues had to change. Like I've always had an agent because I still have done, you know, films here and there, and I just take vacation time and go fly off and do something for 5 days or whatever. But so I met with my agent in January, and I'm like, so okay, so headshots. So how many headshots do you need? You know, and she just looked at me and started laughing. She's like, Lisa, I haven't used a hard copy headshot in 3 years. It's all via internet. It's all through LA casting or whatever. And it's all submitted. So when I go at, like I had an audition this morning, actually in Santa Monica for a commercial, and no, you don't bring headshots anymore. You don't bring, it's your little picture is on a little sheet and it's like a little tiny square and everyone's head is on the sheet. So you don't bring that stuff anymore. And there's just, you know, oh gosh. And definitely, oh, a website, having a really good website that has your reel and has things that bring interest, very important. So we got that accomplished this year as well. It's just so different from when I started as an actor in the 80s, you know, it's just completely changed. But
did you just
better.
Miss it? Did you just miss doing it?
I always missed it. It's just that things came up, you know, Tuesday night, she played Kristen in Nightmare 4. She played the Patricia Arquette role, and she and I actually had a wholesale jewelry business for about 9 years. We manufactured at first just from home, and then it grew and grew and grew, and we were manufacturing out of India and China, and we were all over the United States. We had amazing distribution in Japan. I did Shopping Channel in Japan and all kinds of – so there were always these kind of diversions, and I was raising my children and all kinds of things, but I always, always have missed it. But some really interesting opportunities came up the end of last year, and I went, you know what? It is time, because after Tobrights with Tuesday, I was in corporate world for 5 years. But anyway, some amazing opportunities came up the end of last year, and I was like, okay, I am so back to acting.
I love your IMDb profile because it's like a walk through my viewing habits as a teenager. There's Hardcastle and McCormick. You were on. You were on an episode of Mr. Belvedere. You were on an episode of MacGyver. Even more recently, things like Knots Landing, of course, Star Trek. And the one that jumped out at me was Walker, Texas Ranger in 1998. That must have been something else.
Oh, it was wonderful. It was a Christmas episode, actually. And that's where I play a nun. And Saving Grace, it's called. Beautiful story. Oh, my gosh. I just love that episode. And, I mean, other great pleasures too was playing Carol Brady and Florence Henderson did a TV movie called Behind the Scenes, The Brady Bunch,
nice.
With Fox. That was a thrill to play her. Got to play Carol and Florence, you know, because it was behind the scenes. It was great. So yeah, there's so many, I mean, I did all that stuff back then and, So I'm really happy to be back. And it's also changed because there's so much material out there now. All the AMC shows, all the HBO shows. I mean, back when I started, there was ABC, CBS, and NBC. Yeah. That was like it. Okay, Fox too. That was it. Now there's like hundreds of channels and so much content. So part of this year too has been about watching all these shows and getting caught up, you know, on like a decade of material, which has been great. And I can't wait for Walking Dead on Sunday. Thank you very much.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
We're all excited for that. Well, very cool. This is all very awesome. Everybody, if you're wondering what Star Trek episode that is, because it, of course, is streaming on Netflix, I went and found it. It is the episode called, hold on, it's right here. Oh, I skipped ahead. There it is. No, again, I can't find it. Oh, here it is.
I can tell you.
It is. She plays Yuta in The Vengeance Factor. It was in 1989. What season and episode was that?
I believe it was season 3. I don't recall the episode number, but it still plays.
Yeah.
It still plays all the time. And it kind of became notorious because he does phase me. He kills me. And Star Trek Next Gen was not about death. It was about, you know, communication and work it out and this and that. But in this case, he had to kill the lovely ingenue, Yuta, because I was genetically altered. I just couldn't help myself. I had to kill the Trelestas, you know, this whole thing.
Yeah.
So I think that's why I ended up on the Monopoly board.
That's awesome. And I've seen a screen grab of it. I'm going to watch the episode with my kids because now they're all interested in it. They love Star Trek as well. And yeah, there's a screenshot of you being disintegrated in midair. So
I am disintegrated. Here's the funny thing. I'm on the plane getting back from New York, back to home, L.A., and I'm on JetBlue. Love JetBlue. Sorry, just do. We all have our own TV. We're watching. The guy next to me is watching episode after episode after episode of Star Trek Next Generation. Guess what? My episode came up. So I poked him, you know, and he takes his earplugs out. And I'm like, hi, I just want to say, that's me there. I couldn't resist. It was too funny. He's like, what? Really? Cool. It was really fun.
That's amazing.
I'm so glad you did that. If I had been sitting there doing that, I would have gotten a kick. I would have gotten a huge kick out of that. Yeah, that's really great.
You probably made that guy's week.
Like, I'll tell my wife and my kids.
You know? You probably made his whole week if he's that big a Star Trek fan. That's incredible. Well, that's totally awesome. Garrett, let's fly it over to you. Talk a little bit about what's going on with amove.tv and your many projects. What's up, man?
Oh, well, there's all kinds of podcasts over there. Most of them are video game related, but we've been talking about a lot of movies and TV and pop culture, and I have a show for that as well, which has just come back. Jocelyn from The Angry Chicken and I do Embrace the Spoilers, where whatever we happen to be really into at the moment and watching, we tend to get on there and spoil. And right now we're doing Westworld. So we've come back for that, and it's we're really enjoying that show. And we've also launched a Kickstarter for another season of Embrace the Spoilers that covers the winter movie season.
Nice. Westworld. It's such a good show. I need to listen to your
show. That show's real good so far.
It's killing
only 3 episodes deep, so yeah. Who knows? It could go way off the rails, but I'm really into it.
I don't even care. I'm so into it. I freaking love it.
Yeah, it's really good.
It's really good.
Well, it's got robots and the Old West. It's like built for you, Scott.
Yeah, it was like, I seriously felt like it was a gift handed to me by people who know me very well. And obviously it appeals to lots of people, but they are my two favorite genres. And
Anthony Hopkins.
And Anthony Hopkins, yeah.
Right? The cast is insane.
James Marsden's great, and everyone's great in it.
Ed Harris, yeah.
Really, really good. Yeah. Oh, man, Ed Harris, chewing up the scenery. Anyway, well, that's awesome. Amove.tv, of course, is the place to go. And if you're in Anaheim, California, the first weekend of November, you can see Garrett there along with me and a bunch of other folks hanging out, doing stuff. So feel free to come up, say hi, and hang out. All right.
Big event.
Before we move on, real quick, a note that the way we keep this show on the air is through our Crate Joy. What is that, Scott? People are asking out loud. Well, let me tell you. At frogpants.cratejoy.com, you'll find all the details. Included in this monthly box, for those who want to do it, are all kinds of things like phone chargers and stickers and calendars and books and things from our guests, things that I create, things that Tom creates, all sorts of stuff, stickers. The world is your oyster in the Crate Joy that we created. And it is exclusive for Current Geek. We don't even do this for other shows. This is just for the show. Frogpants.cratejoy.com is where you can get it. Feel free to support us there. It means a lot. Time for the pop quiz.
America scores and wins.
All right. Oh, here's music. This is the pop quiz part of the show where we ask our guests questions in areas of their expertise. If they get the questions right, they hear this. If they get it wrong, they hear this. And we just have a good time doing it. Lisa, you're first. How do you feel about that?
Terrible.
your category.
You don't want me playing the game Trivial Pursuit, okay? Just don't have me on your team.
Oh man,
I'm ready.
All right. Well, here,
beautiful thing about our quiz is there are no wrong answers,
except for the wrong answers. Except for the ones that are wrong. But everything else is a right answer as long as it isn't wrong. Tom keeps score, by the way, and it's a little bit weird how he does. So don't feel too intimidated. He may actually give you bonus points for things you didn't even expect. So that would be the only warning I'd give you. Garrett knows all about this, so he's going to try to game the system. So we start with you, Lisa. Your category is A Nightmare on Elm Street Trivia. All right? Here we go.
Okay.
First question. What character does Johnny Depp play in A Nightmare on Elm Street, the first one?
The name of his character?
Yeah.
Don't know. Don't remember. Doug?
Glenn. Doug. Glenn Lance is his name. Glenn Lance.
Lance. Wow, it sounds like a boxer name or something.
It does. I thought this was the one he claimed he wasn't in, but maybe I'm thinking of Kevin Bacon in Friday the 13th. I might be thinking of that.
This was his first movie.
Yeah.
And it was,
so Lisa starts off with 1 point by correctly answering, I don't know, I don't remember.
Oh, well, all right then. See? I told you, sometimes you get points.
That is a correct answer.
Next up, here's your next question. What year was A Nightmare on Elm Street released? The first film.
The first one?
Yeah.
Let's see. 88. I want to say 85.
You are so close. 1984.
84.
Yep.
Dang.
Again, correct answer because she did, in fact, want to say 1985 and did.
See, I told you. All right. Next up, who played Nancy Thompson in the film?
Heather Langenkamp.
You are correct. That is very
half
well done.
Half point bonus for speed.
Nicely done. next question.
And pronounce her last name correctly.
Yeah,
You're right. Actually, no, good point. Another half point bonus for pronunciation.
Garrett, the cards are stacked against you, man.
It is. It's rough.
Second to last question. What character first gets killed by Freddy in the original film?
Amanda Wiss.
You are... is that
it? Amanda Wiss is Freddy's first kill.
It says here Tina.
Tina. Oh, sorry. I said her actor name.
Oh, well, I think
her
that probably
name
counts.
Is Amanda Wiss. Her name is Tina.
Yes. Is that,
he actually gets 1.5 points for saying a more correct answer than Scott had on his card.
All right. Final question in this category. What is the estimated budget for A Nightmare on Elm Street?
Of all of them? Mm. For all of them?
Nope. Just the first movie.
Oh, the first one?
Yeah.
Ooh. I'm going to say $1 million.
Oh, you're so close. We'll let Tom decide. 1.8 million is the correct answer, Tom.
Okay.
Yeah, half point for being within a half, between 8 tenths of a million.
All right. Not too bad. Excellent. Let's throw it over to Garrett, and then we'll compare your scores. Garrett, your topic is World of Warcraft and Blizzard art. All right?
Art. Oh, boy. Okay.
The art of Blizzard Entertainment. Let's say it that way. All right.
Okay.
I know you love this stuff.
I know like 2 of the artist's names by heart, so this will be fun.
All right. Well, then you might like this one. What year did Samwise Didier begin working for Blizzard?
Oh, I have no idea.
You want to guess?
Well, Tom said you get, half a point for being honest, so.
All right. I'll give you one of those, Tom.
What's the correct answer?
Oh, sorry. The correct answer is 1991.
And yes, Garrett did answer honestly that he had no idea.
All right. What was the first game Chris Metzen worked on as an artist and animator?
Artist and animator?
Yeah. This was
Warcraft 2?
Let me find out if you're right. Incorrect. It was Justice League Task Force.
Whoa.
This is in that documentary they showed, 2 years ago?
We're going with the crappy games.
Yeah, whatever that is.
Forget about.
Who was the lead artist on StarCraft II: Heart of the Swarm?
Lead artist.
Yeah. These aren't fair.
Lead artist on StarCraft II: Samwise?
You are incorrect. It was Alan Dilling.
I don't even know who that is.
I don't either.
Half point for admitting he doesn't even know who that is.
You can blame Hammond for this, by the way. This is his category. He gave it to you. Okay,
Hammond, you're a terrible person.
That's right. Second to last question. What Blizzard artist passed away and had an item named in his honor in Diablo 3, Reaper of Souls?
I do not know.
Kevin Griffith. Oh, sorry. I have to hit buzz. Sorry. Got this all wrong. Kevin Griffith. The United item in the game is called Kanai's Cube. Remember that whole thing? Getting Kanai's Cube? Based on him. Final answer. Who is the art director of Overwatch?
I don't know.
You are correct that you don't know. It is Bill Petras.
All right, the second time you said I don't know, you don't get points for. But the third time, it really felt honest. Like, you were trying to game the system. So I'm giving you a point for that one.
All right. Those are your questions. Tom, how did they do?
Garrett ended up out of 5 points with 2.5. Lisa ended up with 6 out of 5.
Whoa, look at that. Lisa takes it away. That's right. Riker may have shot you, but you're...
I'll send you that check in the mail. Yeah.
May I get a second round of Nightmare on Elm Street trivia?
As it turns out, you're an enormous fan of the series, so
I love Nightmare on Elm Street. Like, so I'm trying not to geek out on you, Lisa, but
really?
I'm a fan.
Really? Do you know what role I played?
Yeah, you were the lead in 4 and 5.
What was my character name?
Oh,
she's testing you. You're getting tested by the actress who
I'm
played
trying
her.
To get you more points, Garrett.
You're not going to get. Oh, jeez.
Okay, I have a hint.
Okay.
Freddy Krueger says to her, "Welcome to Wonderland."
Oh, it's Alice.
Yes.
It's Alice. I was thinking Catherine, but that's the later movies.
Oh, well done. All right.
Post-quiz bonus point for Garrett.
Good job, Garrett. Still didn't win, but it was a nice try anyway. All right. It's time for this.
The future promises even more startling things to come.
Part of the show we call Forecast. It is based on an old show Tom and I did called Forecast, which is still, for some reason, number 53 ranked in iTunes in its category, which I don't understand.
Wow, why do we make new episodes of anything? That's amazing.
I don't know. It's super weird. Anyway, it exists. It was great, but now we do it as a segment. We predict the future, and I handled this one. Curious what you guys think of my idea. It is Westworld related. We will one day have a Westworld-style park for people, but it will not encourage human savage instincts, as the show predicts or shows, but rather be more like Disneyland and cater to lots of fantasy world types. My idea being that you could go there, and instead of just going down an alleyway that looks like Harry Potter might hang out there, there will be indistinguishable from human animatronics of people walking around. You'll go on adventures with... people in that world, or whatever fantasy world is yours for the choosing. It will be very expensive.
So when you go to the Three Broomsticks, instead of a teenager from Glendale serving you your butter beer, you'll have an android that looks like the actual bartender from the movie.
Yeah, or even, you know, you might run into one of the Weasley twins in the street and he'll say, "Hey, come here, I got an idea," and he's going to play some prank on somebody or something. Like, that stuff will, like in Westworld, you'll have those opportunities. But it's less about being drunk and terrible and more about, you know, living out a fantasy. And even Wonder of the Worlds could be a Western world, but it's mostly focused on, you know, it's more focused on let's go out and find the bandit and less focused on let's go to the whatever house of ill repute and treat women badly. Like, that's what I would like. I like our future. It'll be a little more optimistic about our technology is all I'm saying. So that's my thinking. Any other any thoughts on my idea?
Think I'm it'll down happen? With that. I'm totally down with that. Also, the interactive world is like so incredible. I just did, it's called The Basement, you know, when you go and you're locked in this room for an hour and you get clues and you have to find a way to get out of the room. Lights are flashing. All of a sudden, big loud noises are happening. I don't know. I'm going along with the more interactive, like real interactive kind of experience at an amusement park. And I think that's definitely in the future.
What's that called? There's a name for what you just
locked room.
Oh, locked room.
Escape room.
Yeah, because we just got one here.
Yeah, there's a ton of them. There's a ton of them in Salt Lake here where they cater to all sorts of ideas. They're scattered across the valley. I'd never heard of them before until recently, and I've never done one. So is this worth doing? You've done one recently. Should I go do this? Is it fun?
It's addictive. Yes, you must do it.
Is it going to stress me out?
You're with a group of people. What did you say?
Is it going to stress me out? It sounds stressful.
Well, it's stressful, but it's stressful in a fun way. But you work as a team. You know, I went with some friends who introduced me to this whole concept that I wasn't even familiar with. And it's fantastic. And seriously, you're finding clues and you get to tear up this room looking for the key. You're looking for a key maybe, or there's puzzle pieces. You're trying to put it together. You find them in weird places. It's like this real room with great production value, you know, the rusty old bed and the bathroom that's all disgusting and gross. And there's a computer in the room, and there you have to get some clues from that too. And then weird little doors will open all of a sudden, and you're tearing apart the room looking for the next clue to lead you to the code you need to get out of the room. Mm. It's fantastic.
That sounds so cool.
It's like Saw without missing body parts.
Yeah, yes. Without Jigsaw coming on and telling you really
Saw without saws.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you know, you find clues in a piece of paper in a robe that's hanging in this armoire in the room. Like weird. It's really fun.
It's got little bit of real life Mist to it because you're solving puzzles.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
You're solving puzzles, and Mist will come into the room, and lights will dim and flicker, and red flashing lights, and then you have the guy, you know, coming in saying, you know, I'm going to kill you, you know, like you have to get out of this room or you're going to be killed. It's really fun.
It does sound like Saw. That's interesting. All right. Maybe I'll try one.
Yeah.
Maybe I can document it and tell everybody why I had a good time or it stressed me out. Well, excellent. Let's move on to an email. We got an email here. Tom, this one's actually directed at you, but I'm sure that
we can
comment on this. That's from Wonderbus, who says this. Hey, Current Geek, love your show, never not good. I think that's good. Wondering if Tom is planning to partake in Civ 6 now that it's out. Would love to hear your thoughts on the game. Wonderbus. Well, Tom, you are a longtime admitted Civilization fan.
Oh, yeah. No, Civilization 1, the first one, I played forever and would reprogram to make the characters say other things as a joke. I used to play Civ 2 all the time with my friend Russ in Austin. We would play it long into the night because you could do it over LAN. And I have been a fan of the whole Civilization franchise ever since. The saddest thing, and I don't know if this is just because I'm getting old or if it's the modern day curse, is that I didn't download it because I'm going to be headed out of town and go into a baby shower, and I'm not going to have time to play it. And I just have not had time to play video games because, and this is going to be the weirdest part. I don't have time to play video games because I'm too busy watching movies and TV shows and recording podcasts because that's my job. And I don't actually do a show about video games, so I don't have to play them.
Right.
It's the weirdest thing in the world. And yet I'm really excited about it and I can't wait to get it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have kind of the same problem. Generally speaking, it's other stuff, but it's kind of a similar issue. Garrity, are you you like Civ? Where are you at with the Civ games?
I love Civ, but I need an eighth day in the week invented to play it.
Mm. Totally.
It is the most, it's such a time vampire.
Like, yeah.
Before I know it, it's 4 a.m. and I'm wondering what I did with my day.
Yeah, it can be bad. I'll admit that I got it because I'm a sucker, and I cracked it open. I like that Ned Stark is the narrator. What's his name? I think it was Sean Bean.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's really good.
Even more now.
Easily the best soundtrack they've ever done. Really, really digging the soundtrack in a major way. And his popping in with stuff to say once in a while is really cool. The art style, Garrett, you're going to flip out. This like ancient papyrus material looking map that slowly unravels as you explore new space is totally different than what they've ever done. It's really cool, really cohesive. It's getting 90+ percent reviews on every site that reviews these kind of things. I couldn't not do it. So I've got it. I'll let you guys know. But Wonderbus, Tom, listen, baby showers, all right? He just doesn't have time. Maybe one day you'll get to it and you can tell us all about it then, Tom. How about that?
Well, I bought the PlayStation VR, the Oculus Rift, the HTC Vive, and I've played them enough to be able to talk about them and review them. It's just a weird prioritization thing that's going on. And I'm not whining about it. I'm not expecting sympathy. It's more like just a weird state of affairs that I've gotten myself into.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. Well, you too at home can send us emails if you'd like. CurrentGeek@gmail.com is the place to send them. And that is going to do it for our show. Oh my goodness. Where do we start? Lisa, you were a fantastic guest. Please tell people where they can find you and more of your work.
Oh gosh. Yeah. You know, go to my website because there you can click on the Facebook and the Twitter and the Instagram and all that. LisaEWilcox.com. And yeah, I'd love for you guys to come visit me. You can see some fun little reels. Actually, Hardcastle McCormick might even be under my reels. I have some clips from old shows I used to do on there, and my real acting reel and photos and blah, 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 all kinds of stuff. So yeah, LisaEWilcox.com. And yeah.
Awesome. I'm excited to see your new movies coming out. We're going to check those out, and we're going to watch Star Trek with the kids this weekend. So there you go.
Cool.
Reliving some Lisa Wilcox vintage material.
It's October, man. Everyone should be just watching every single Nightmare movie.
That's right. That's right. You've only got a few. You have half a month left, everybody. What are you waiting for? Garrett, tell us where the fine people can find you and more of you as well.
Amovie.tv for everything. The Angry Chicken for Hearthstone. Into the Nexus for Heroes. But definitely check out Embrace the Spoilers, where Jocelyn and I will be spoiling Westworld. And if our Kickstarter over at bit.ly/backETS succeeds, we'll be spoiling a ton of movies this winter season. So
very nice.
Go check it out.
Go check that out. Of course, Garrett Art on Twitter, you mentioned. Tom, anything else going on we should know about?
Sorry, I'm busy buying Civ on Steam.
Are you really?
I'm literally, that's what I'm doing right now. I can't. I've been shamed by Wonderbus.
Oh, poor Wonderbus. I don't know if you know what you've done here. You're going to love it, though.
I'm going to have to take my Windows laptop to the baby shower. Okay, Wonderbus, are you happy?
We'll make an excuse and play multiplayer sometime and make that a thing we talk about somewhere. And then we'll say, okay, that was for work. We'll figure it out. It's fine.
Yeah, it's fine. It's tax deductible. It's part of my job.
That's
we
right.
just talked about it.
Yeah.
There you go. Done.
There you go. Tax deductible.
Yeah, no, if you want some sci-fi stories, check out TomMerrittBooks.com. That's all I got.
Yeah, always a good place to go to get your Tom Merritt fix. That's going to do it for us. Thank you, everybody, for listening. We are found at currentgeek.com. All our links are there. Current Geek on Twitter. Oh, what else? I think that might be it. Currentgeek.gmail.com. That's our email address. Send that often and regularly, which is kind of the same thing. Big thanks to our guests. Thanks to all of you who listen. For me, for Tom, and our guests. We'll see you next time.
Hi, and welcome back to Legal Geek. This week, we take a look at a recent lawsuit filed by the makers of the Cards Against Humanity game and the incorrect original news stories about this conflict. News reports broke a couple of weeks ago that the company that makes Cards Against Humanity, the party game for terrible people that has been a great selling sensation since 2009, sued a competitor in Missouri federal court for copyright and trademark infringement. The original news stories identified the non-authorized parody expansions sold under the name Crabs Adjust Humidity as the defendant, but it later turned out to be an entirely different company. The real defendant is Sky Enterprises, a business in Missouri which is allegedly selling knockoff, counterfeit versions of the regular Cards Against Humanity game. This makes more sense than suing the makers of Crabs Adjust Humidity, although it makes the card game case a little less interesting than it would have been otherwise. Crabs Adjust Humidity came up with their own cards and used their own type font, art styles, and collections of words, so the artistic, copyrightable, protectable features covered by CAH's copyrights likely do not apply to those cards. But a pure copy of the same cards and fonts and styles, like those in the alleged counterfeits from Sky Enterprises, would more clearly be copyright infringement. On the trademark side, Crabs Adjust Humidity is a clever change because it uses the same acronym initials as the CAH game while being substantially different. That, plus the different packaging with a lot of red coloring along with the traditional game's black and white coloring, clearly distinguishes this product in the minds of consumers from CAH. However, the alleged counterfeits of Sky Enterprises use the exact same packaging and product name in order to compete directly with genuine copies of Cards Against Humanity. Thus, while CAH might have a good case against these counterfeiters, a similar lawsuit filed against the parody Crabs Adjust Humidity would not likely fare so well. Perhaps it's a good thing that those initial news stories were wrong about the defendant in this case. The bottom line is, when competing with or building on popular products or games, you need to be extra careful to avoid IP infringement. Even defending against such a lawsuit can make your business efforts not worth the fuss if you do it wrong. Thanks for listening. Please provide feedback and segment suggestions to me on Twitter at BuckeyeFitzy.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Yes, get more at frogpants.com.